Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll be going live to your calls in just a few moments. I have been recorded for the last few days. The reason was is I was having surgery on my nose. It was a pretty big mess inside, and thanks to a very talented physician, it has been corrected. But the surgery was quite a trauma for me. I was starting to have difficulty breathing correctly when I was doing the show, and so I felt like I had to get it taken care of. And now I can breathe properly for the first time, and this has only been for a few hours. I was just at the doctor's office, got all the packing taken out of my nose. I still have black eyes and yellow skin, but my voice is coming back, and the airwaves are open, so I'm glad to be able to be on the air. And I remember as I was going into surgery, going through Psalm 139 with my wife, "Oh Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast." The reason those particular words were swimming through my head was because of a DVD that I decided I wanted to put in our constituents' hands this month. It's called King of Creation. And I don't know of any product that I have ever seen that does a better job of preaching without words and letting the words of Scripture themselves echo back through your mind in recognition that there is a King of Creation. He knit us together in our mother's womb. All the days ordained for us, written in His book before even one of them came to be. During the last 6 days, I feel like I've been to hell and back, literally some of the most difficult days that I've ever experienced physically. And in some cases, there was an emotional pang as well, wondering, is this surgery really going to work? And if it doesn't work, will I ever have to go through this again? Probably all of that pales in comparison to what some of you are going through. But the very recognition that God created every aspect of my being, and that the God who created every fiber of my being had every fiber of my being in His hands, was great solace. And I think sometimes we fail to recognize that beauty, that majesty, that King of Creation, until we stop. And may I use the cliche, until we stop and smell the roses. And I think that's what I've had to do, stop and smell the roses. And one of the great solaces for me is this DVD, King of Creation. And I wrote something on the back cover of this DVD. I want to read to you. It says, "This is a production you quite literally must see to believe. in the tradition of illustrious media films ranging from Metamorphoses to Flight, King of Creation, preaches without the necessity of words. Anyone seeing this production will not only know that there is a creator, but yearn to know the creator more fully in his essence through image, sound, lyric. King of Creation displays God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, which have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So in the genre of general revelation, this film stands at the very apex of tools for the defense of the faith once for all delivered to the saints. That's exactly how I feel about this DVD. Again, it's why I would like to put it into your hands this month as my way of saying thank you for your support. And in terms of support, many of you know that last month was the end of our fiscal year. I am a bit sad that we did not meet our goals. We came fairly close, but we didn't meet our goals. And so I'm trusting that the Lord will make up the difference in this month. And one of the ways in which that can be done is when you give your gift, I'd like to send you King of Creation as my way of saying thank you. So you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. And if I may, let me read just a letter or so that has buoyed me in terms of the support that comes into this ministry. Here's one that I just received. Dear Hank, I've listened to you off and on now for many years. I've reaped the benefit of your ministry during this time without supporting the work of the Christian Research Institute. I donated during your first appeal in May and again in the beginning of June. I'm writing this note in support of the ministry and sending another check because truth matters. I cannot continue growing and receiving biblical teaching from the Christian Research Institute without financially supporting this outreach. I became a monthly partner after hearing how many people stopped donating to CRI. This is not a feel-good ministry, but a ministry that preaches truth, correct understanding of the Bible, backed by solid research. I believe your work of teaching the truth and understanding of the Bible, clarifying misconceptions, is so needed in this current era of political correctness. The movement in many churches from sound biblical teaching to watered-down Christianity, feel-good, one-size-fits-all ministry leaves a deep void for all who seek solid biblical understanding. I became fascinated by Osteen's message after my divorce. Moving back to Los Angeles, being unchurched, feeling like a loser and broke, I watched him on TV. I saw him with unbelieving friends at Yankee Stadium. Saw him again in 2012 at Staples Center in Los Angeles, California, with an unchurched childhood friend. My friend called him a rock star and is devoted to his ministry. After listening to Osteen on several occasions, I realized his message is not based on biblical truth, but presented in a distorted manner to tickle the soul and to turn a person from seeking God for answers to directing oneself for answers. My earnest desire is to be able to share with family, friends, and others the saving truth in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I sincerely appreciate all that you do to speak honestly, maybe painfully, regarding the Bible. Your ministry fills such a huge void in our society. Thank you for being a beacon of light in this dark time. I'm not wealthy, but I stand shoulder to shoulder in support of you and CRI. And then he says, can you guide me in making CRI part beneficiary of my small retirement? This is a letter that is so encouraging, because here's a person that appreciates the ministry, is supporting this ministry, has been equipped by this ministry, and now is touching the lives of others. And that's precisely what we're seeking to do. So again, my thanks to This, I'm not sure what the name is. It's just J, and I don't want to use the last name, but to J, just the letter J, and then the last name. But my sincere thanks to J for the letter, and to all of you that have supported this ministry and continue to do that prayerfully and financially. For those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, do remember, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member or a friend. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Ron. He's listening in Prescott, Arizona on the web. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank. I envy you because I've had a deviated septum since birth, and when it's hot, it's the only way I can breathe when I'm sleeping is through my mouth.
Yeah, that's exactly why I had the surgery done. The surgeon was saying he didn't understand how I'd get any breath at all through my nose. And as a result of that, you don't sleep well at night. And sometimes you run out of energy when you do things like the show. And so I thought, well, I've got to have it fixed. But I was worried about it because I'd had it done twice before, many, many years before, and it didn't turn out so well. So I was very, very reticent to have it done again. But I think this time the surgeon just did a masterful job.
Yeah, you've got to get the right doctors because some of these doctors just don't have the skills. My question is, when we get to heaven, will we know our relatives as our relatives? And does Matthew 12:46-50, could it be a clue as to what will happen? That's when the Lord's brothers and mother came to him and thought he was crazy, and they wanted to take him away. And he says, well, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father in heaven.
Well, I don't think this answers the question that you're asking at all. But the answer to your question is we're not going to have less knowledge. We're going to have more knowledge. So we will for certain know those that we have known on earth, but our relationship with them will be different. So my relationship to my wife will be a relationship, but not that of husband and wife. That which it will be, which we can't fully describe, exceeds that which it now is. So if you think of the apex of a husband-wife relationship or a family relationship or a friendship, what we will have there in terms of relationship outshines all of that.
Okay, well, I was just thinking about people in heaven who don't have any relatives in heaven, and the only thing possible is that the relatives would be in hell, and I'm just thinking that might be kind of sad for those people.
Well, we will see things in heaven from God's perspective, which means that we will know that the Creator of the universe exacted complete and perfect judgment in every single case. And we will also know with a certainty that we cannot have in this time-space continuum that all who are in heaven want it. All who are in hell do not want it. As C.S. Lewis said, there are only two kinds of people in the world, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God in the end says, thy will be done. So those who seek will find. To those who knock, the door will be opened, and we will realize that God does not force anyone into his presence, but rather, if people do not want a relationship with him, he will continue to sustain them in existence, albeit apart from his goodness and his glory and his grace, because that's what they wanted, not only in this life, but in the life to come.
Okay. Thank you much, Hank.
Hey, you got
appreciate it.
Appreciate your call. I want to say a little something about the Hobby Lobby decision as we go to break. This was, in my view, a very, very satisfactory conclusion. Hobby Lobby, based on principle, was willing to put it all in the line. And sometimes when you do that, you win, sometimes you lose. They and God's providence won. There's an article in the newspaper. It's written by Erin, Mersino, and in that article, he says, life begins at conception, and any life-ending act, such as taking a drug that causes an abortion, constitutes murder. While abortion is generally legal in America, it is not legal to force a person who objects to abortion to provide it, pay for it, or assist another to get one. And this was a fight really for life. They did not want to be an accessory to murder. And there is no question whatsoever in an age of scientific enlightenment that a conceptus has full personhood from the moment of conception. We'll be right back.
Peter Atkins, a well-known British chemist and atheist, has written that, quote, science has no need of purpose. All the extraordinary, wonderful richness of the world can be expressed as growth from the dunghill of purposeless, interconnected corruption. As outlandish as his statement is, dismissing the grandeur of God's creation as purposeless corruption, sadly, he is not alone. In fact, countless intellectuals and power elites share his convictions. Is it any wonder, then, that the value of life is eroding? Why on earth bother to defend purposeless corruption growing from a dunghill? Well, for a radically different perspective, and one that will cause your heart to soar, you need to watch King of Creation, a stunning visual celebration of God's handiwork in the world around us. To receive your copy of this amazing collection of meditations set to film, visit equip.org and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be right back after the break.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request the Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. If you feel that continuously standing for truth occasionally takes its toll on your spiritual batteries, welcome aboard. You're not alone. For a wonderful battery charger for you and your loved ones, you need to watch King of Creation, a stunning visual celebration of God's handiwork in the world around us. To receive your copy as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Just before the break, I was talking about the contraception mandate, which imposed multi-million dollar IRS fines for non-compliance and the Hobby Lobby case, and how they took a principled stand. If they lost, the cost was draconian. They took a principled stand and they won. And I pointed out that abortion is, in fact, the painful killing of an innocent human being. And there's just no question about that in the age of scientific enlightenment. And I didn't want to make that dogmatic assertion without giving a defensible argument. So let me give you just a few quotes before we go to our next caller. First, Dr. Matthew Ross. Roth, a principal research associate at Harvard, said it is scientifically correct to say that an individual human life begins at conception when egg and sperm join to form the zygote. And this developing human always is a member of our species in all stages of its life. Here's another quote, French geneticist Jérôme Lejeune. He's giving sworn testimony to a United States Senate subcommittee and says, to accept the fact that after fertilization has taken place, a new human has come into being is no longer a matter of taste or opinion. The human nature of the human being from conception to old age is not a metaphysical contention. It is plain experimental evidence. And one more quote. This is Jaime Gordon, a professor of medical genetics and a physician at the Mayo Clinic. He said, I think we can now also say that the question of the beginning of life, when life begins, is no longer a question for theological or philosophical dispute. It is an established scientific fact. So, theologians and philosophers may go on to debate the meaning of life or the purpose of life, but it is an established fact that all life, including human life, begins at the moment of conception. Thus, while an embryo does not have a fully developed personality, it does have full personhood from the moment of conception. You didn't come from an adolescent, you once were an adolescent. And in like fashion, you didn't come from an embryo. You once were an embryo. Not a fully developed personality, but full personhood from the moment of conception. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rosemary in Elvin, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You have impacted and inspired me in a huge way. Mm. Thank you and your staff for what y'all do, and I will continue to support your ministry monthly, and may God bless you in so many ways.
Thank you.
My question, I've been watching the news, and I'm seeing more and more news on sightings of UFOs and what one would consider extraterrestrial life. Do you believe in such thing? And if so, do you consider them to be fallen angels?
Well, no, I don't consider them to be fallen angels. Fallen angels do not have physicality. and therefore they cannot manifest. Now, angels can manifest by God's creative prowess, and that has happened in biblical times. But fallen angels never manifest. They don't have the wherewithal to create bodies or to create physicality, and therefore they cannot manifest in the physical world.
Okay.
But I would say further that hard evidence on UFOs is, well, hard to come by. 80% or more can be attributed to natural causes. And the message that you usually get from these extraterrestrials as they're being showcased in various forums, television and movies and so forth, is that if we don't accelerate our technological and our spiritual evolution, we will not be able to avert global catastrophe. And the spokespersons for these ETs are typically New Agers and occultists, so that should give you a bit of a warning right there. But having said all of that, I don't deny the possibility, nor does the Bible deny the possibility. I just don't see any hard evidence for it.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Richard in Georgia, listening on the web. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I'll be praying for you about your recovery from your surgery.
Thank you.
Yeah. Regarding Daniel chapter 7, verse 6, where it talks about the leopard.
Yeah.
Which I believe is the third beast.
Yes.
And it says it has four heads. Now, I know you've talked about the third beast being Persia, if I remember correctly, and I'm just wondering what the four heads represent.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think Daniel 7, 6 actually corresponds to Daniel 11, 2. And this is one of the beauties in the book of Daniel. You are able to cross-reference and get a closer fix on what you're looking for. But the basic answer to the question, although I've written about this in some detail, the basic answer would be that the leopard represents the Median Empire. And the way I've explained this is prior to unification, Media and Persia are identified separately, the former as a bear and then the latter as a leopard. However, in the third... Beg your pardon?
I apologize. I had them backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Media and Persia. Okay.
Yeah. The former is a bear, the latter is a leopard. And in the third year of Belshazzar, the symbolism was altered in order to depict the unified Medo-Persian Empire as a singularity. And as such, Daniel sees one ram with two horns standing before the canal, and the horns are long, and one of the horns becomes longer than the other and grew up later and so forth. So Gabriel identifies the horns as Media and Persia, the former as an independent Median Empire and the latter, which grew up later and longer, as the dominant Persian Empire. Now, specifically to your question, the four heads, I think, represent Cyrus, who unified the two empires to begin with. And I give you all the color commentary again in my book, Has God Spoken, and his three successors, the famous Cambyses and Darius the First and Xerxes.
Okay. Great. Well, that makes sense. I figured it had to do with the four kings, but I was just wondering which ones you were thinking they were. So that helps very much. Thank you so much, Hank. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. And by the way, this is not unusual, because the four horns that emerge after the death of Alexander the Great also symbolize four generals. And these are all fairly dominant and easily identified in history. But I give the color commentary and all the details in my book, Has God Spoken? Back to the phone lines. Matt next in Washington, D.C., listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay. Good talking to you.
Great. I was calling, for a couple of things, actually. I just thought of, first of all, I go to Plain Bible Church in Virginia. Do you know that church?
I don't, no.
Okay, it's kind of like a your mega church. Speaking of like problems and whatnot, I am a teacher, so I didn't have enough money to get to the summer home. And I asked them to help. I asked quite a bit, $4,000, but they turned me down. So I know this past year they had about a $4 million surplus. So I guess my first question would be, should I continue going to a church like that that don't really help people that's in need or give to a church like that? And then my second question was about, God and heaven and hell. We go through life, and God knows the future of everything that's happening. Why does he just go through, a life of suffering like this, you know, to end up going to heaven or hell anyways? It seems like it'd be easier to have a door and say, okay, choose this option or choose this option. And you could just make a simple decision like that rather than going through a whole lifetime of, things. So I just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, suffering, though, is not gratuitous, nor is any moment of life on this earth gratuitous. It all has transcendent meaning, not only in shaping us to be servants of the Lord in this world, but also shaping us for the world to come. And God creates us in such a way that we are able to actualize our choices and have those choices actualized for all eternity. What we do now counts. So it's not a matter of our lives being meaningless. Why even go through them? No, every moment of our life has meaning, and even the difficult circumstances of life are used by God in some way for his greater good and glory. When you go through suffering, when you go through a lack financially, all of these things shape us in some way. I think of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who said, "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends? I have been there, and my sermon's with me." The result of melting is that we arrive at a true valuation of things and are poured out in new and better fashion. And then he said, we might almost wish for the melting so that we might be made more like unto our Lord. So through the cauldron of adversity, we're shaped into choice vessels for the service of the King.
Okay.
That makes sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And, I just want to thank you, too, for, you know, doing the truth. It seems like there's a drought when it comes to truth. I would ask, I guess, all your listeners, if they do have the financial ability to help you out to be able to make your budgets and stay on the air, they should do that because we need as many people speaking the truth today as possible. So anyway, I just want to thank you for everything.
Well, Matt, thank you so much. Those are very, very kind words. I'm sitting here as you're talking, wiping the blood that's running down my face. So I hope I'm not butchering the show too bad. But we're coming up to station break. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Do remember King of Creation. I mean, if you've seen any of the work of Illustrium Media, and you can see it all on the web. Metamorphosis, Flight, Privileged Planet, Darwin's Dilemma, thinking of some other ones that we have, but they're just fantastic. I'm a big fan of their work. And if you've got any of those, you're going to want this. If you want this, you're going to probably want those as well. So check it out on the web. Again, King of Creation, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. It is absolutely breathtaking. And it will point you to the King of Creation. Be right back.
In his book, God's Undertaker, Has Science Buried Truth? Eminent scientist and mathematician John Lennox notes, God is an alternative to science as an explanation. He is not to be understood merely as a God of the gaps. On the contrary, he is the ground of all explanation, scientific or otherwise. Yet more than merely being the ground of all explanation, or even the ground of all being, for Christians, God is the King of Creation, and it is that theme that is captured in an amazing collection of meditations set to film and cherished hymns that we would love for you to have. More than just something that will bless and inspire you and your loved ones, this King of Creation DVD would likely warm hearts of hardened atheists. To receive your copy of this soul-stirring production, simply call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support our work of equipping Christians to courageously defend life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Hank will be back after this. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Do you sometimes feel that in the fight for life and biblical truth, your fizz goes flat? Would you welcome an empowering touch from God that would put a gust of wind back in your sails? If so, you need King of Creation, a moving DVD that combines meditations with stunning photography accompanied by beloved hymns. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, visit equip.org and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And no one does it like Illustrian Media. Again, King of Creation, if you don't have your copy, and we just started offering it, it is available for your gift. You can get your copy in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chris in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question.
You're welcome.
It's kind of a two-part question, so I apologize in advance. But the first part of the question is, how much background information about Jesus does someone need to be given in order to share the gospel with them, namely in the United States? And then the second part to that question is, how much information is essential to preaching the gospel to someone based on what is said in Romans 1:1-7?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting if you just look at Romans in blocks, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, and Romans chapter 3. You see, first of all, in Romans chapter 1, that we have the light of creation, which preaches to us. For much like David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. That's, by the way, one of the reasons that I'm making available King of Creation. This is general revelation where the heavens are declaring the glory of God. And when you see it, you intuitively know, without hearing a word, that there is a God and that he is majestic and has left his imprimatur in the universe that he has made. And then when you get to Romans chapter 2, you see that God has also written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of your consciousness. Now, the point is, if you respond to the light you've been given, the external light and the internal light, then you will receive the light of Christ, who will reveal himself to you as he wills, ever more fully. Which is to say, the Bible says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. So as I've said on this broadcast, and this is not original with me, God dwells in enough darkness so that if you want obscurity, if you don't want to see him, you're not going to see him, but in enough light that if you want to find him, you will most certainly find him, which made it make a whole lot of sense when Jesus said to Nicodemus, light came into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the problem is never that there's not enough light. The problem is that men love darkness rather than light. In terms of what you need to know, you know that God created the universe. You know that God knit you together in your mother's womb, and that you know that God has a purpose for you, and he begins to reveal that purpose to you. He does that through normal means, but he can do it through unusual means as well. The normative way that God reveals himself to us is through his word and through those who are arbiters of his word or ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And they can explain to us, first of all, the mother of all questions, who do you say that I am? Because when you say, I want to follow Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference who that Jesus Christ is. If he's an avatar or a messenger, a whole lot different than if he's the one who spoke in the universe, leapt into existence. So you want to know who that Jesus is that you're following. When you recognize that he is the one who created you, the one who created the universe, then you want to follow his principles and precepts. And that's a gradual, ongoing process for each one of us. The more you know about him, the more there is to know. You can never exhaust that reality. So we're all on stages of knowing him in various levels, and even in eternity, we will continue that trek.
I wholeheartedly agree with that, and part of what I've been wrestling with is churches that perform a quote-unquote altar call where they ask people to raise their hands, and then the church is more or less professing these people to have been saved. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:2 that it's by the gospel in which we've been saved, and Paul talks more about it in Romans 1, but he says, you know, through the Holy Scriptures regarding the Son, earthly life, who was a descendant of David. And I wondered if the people that were in Jesus' day when he was walking the earth, most of those people are already understood the coming Messiah, and at least what they've expected him and the Jewish history that went along with that, whereas in our country today, most people have heard of Jesus, but they don't necessarily understand that Jewish history and why it was important that the prophecies that were given about Jesus ahead of time. So do we need to explain any of that, in your opinion, to be able to share the gospel? Because I've heard the gospel preached directly out of Romans 1:1-7.
Well, I think it's extraordinarily helpful to know that Jesus is the only one who could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy, so that you know of a surety that he is who he says he is. So he left no doubt about this through his ancestry, through his birth in Bethlehem, the circumstances surrounding his life and his death, the date of his visitation, the fact that he was an extraordinary worker of miracles, that he became the one to fulfill the law and the prophets, that he was not only a parochial Jewish Messiah, but he was a light to the Gentiles, and all that and more. But, you know, I think the real issue is, do you want to follow Jesus Christ? And that is not, you're making a great point. It's not just about, well, you raised your hand and now there's this giant computer in the sky, and in that computer, the check mark goes behind your name. You raised your hand. That's not what it is. It's not just giving verbal assent to logical truth propositions. It is wanting with all your heart, every fiber of your being, to be a participant in his kingdom, a follower of Jesus Christ, which means taking up your cross and daily following him. So the idea is not just verbal assent, as though there's some magic wand that is waved somewhere, but rather those that desire to follow Jesus Christ. And you have to know who Jesus is. Who's going to follow someone if you don't know who they are? It's stupid to follow them. And certainly that would be the case with Jesus Christ. That does not entail exhaustive knowledge. And certainly as I've traveled the world, I've seen people in rural areas who didn't know much about the Word of God, but did know the author. You could tell that there was an intimacy of relationship. So they had this visceral relationship with God, but all the while wanting to learn more and more about them. So when you show up with the good news and more information, they're all ears.
Right. And I, not to take up too much of your time, I appreciate you elaborating on that. I agree with virtually all that you said. My concern was that a lot of churches, especially larger churches, that make it a point to have an altar call, quickly throw what they believe to be the gospel out there, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again. And a lot of times that's where it stops. But if people, like I said, in this country in particular, do not understand more than Jesus than that, I'm afraid that maybe it's not leading them to a repentant behavior.
No, I think you're right.
You brought up.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's important that we recognize the whole of it, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. it is exemplified in baptism, isn't it? When the first act of obedience becomes, I am now being buried to my old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. So a new convert never remains a convert. They're baptized as a disciple, a learner or follower of Jesus Christ, one who takes up their cross. And we saw the stark reality of what that meant in the first century church, usually death. But people say, yeah, I'm not going to say Caesar is Lord. I'm going to say Christ is Lord. Christ is more powerful than Caesar. He's the creator of the universe. And he is not only my Lord, he is my Savior as well. So what had to be said about Caesar was, you are Lord and Savior. Now the baptized disciple is saying, no, Christ is my Lord and Savior. And whatever that costs, that's okay. We want we want a relationship without intimacy, which is not wanting the relationship at all.
Right. Well, again, I appreciate you taking my question, and also, hopefully for any of the listeners, I pray that people are praying for the churches in our nation, that we are really elaborating on the full gospel and not just assuming that people are getting saved, that we're really putting in the work to help these people reach Christ.
Well, you're underscoring a critical need. And I appreciate your discernment very much. Easy believism is a black mark on the face of the church.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, thank you for your time, sir.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ray, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, on Bot Radio. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Hank. I got a question about demons. Are demons fallen angels? And if not, how did they come into existence?
No, demons are fallen angels. I mean, God created angels, and those that followed Lucifer in his fall are demons. So fallen angels and demons are equivalent.
And they had free will to follow Lucifer.
They did, and they were actualized in their choice to follow Lucifer. That's correct.
Could they be redeemed?
No, because they had requisite knowledge and they chose to follow Satan as opposed to follow the Lord. There's nothing within them that would want to turn to Christ. They hate everything and everything that has to do with his kingdom.
But they know he exists. They believe.
Not only believe, but they shudder. And the point there is, you say you believe, says James, even the demons say that and shudder. Belief is not the full essence of salvation. To have true saving faith not only means that you know about Jesus Christ, that you agree that he's Savior and Lord, but that you trust in him. The demons know about Jesus Christ. They know who he is. They agree that he spoke in the universe, leapt into existence, but they're not trusting him for anything. So true saving faith entails knowledge, assent, and trust, all three of those components.
Okay. Was there a great battle, you think, that went on in heaven against those that fell and chose to go with Lucifer and those that chose to remain?
Well, the details are not spelled out for us in Scripture. You can make theological deductions based on various passages. What we do know is that God created angels with volition, and therefore they could choose to follow him, as roughly two-thirds of the angels did, or choose to rebel against him, as roughly one-third of the angels did. We don't know all of what surrounded the angelic fall, for angels to fall from grace, fall as Lucifer did. Once he was the highest of God's creation, and then he becomes personified as someone even lower than the livestock. They have legs, but he crawls on his belly. He slithers. The personification is powerful to show the height from which Satan had fallen. But all that entails requires theological deduction. We don't know the details. We do know, however, that fallen angels and demons are equivalent. There are some that make distinctions here, but I do not think based on a biblical worldview. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's about all the energy I had. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the show. If you don't have your copy of King of Creation, I just want you to get it. Plug it in. Watch it with family members, friends. It is absolutely transformational. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Austenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request the Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.